Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. Another week, another race week is actually upon us as well. But before we start, whether you're listening to us or you're watching this clip right now on TikTok or Instagram, firstly, make sure you give it a like, follow us, and if you are listening to us, give us a five-star rating, wherever that may be. But I just want to quickly shout out the boys from Boot and Ball. They sent us this picture here, up here. You can't really see it all in that, but it's a nice little picture of Lewis Hamilton. They also sent us these quality little beer mats. I'm going to like take one. Look, right. Lance Stroll on the other side. Fernando Alonso. Let's try and find one that is really cool.
The Norris and Oscar Piastri one is decent, to be fair.
All right, should we see this? Lando Norris. Oscar Piastri. I don't know. There's something about these. I just thought they were so sick. Like Magnussen. Hülkenberg. And they're obviously all based around beers. That are local to the individual. There you go. And look, you ready for this? Bang. So yeah, just a big shout out to them. Check them out. They do loads of cool stuff, not just F1 stuff. They do all other sports, and they also do these really cool cards, which the picture cards are these guys. This isn't sponsored. Didn't say I was going to do this. They sent them through to me, and I think they're sick. So check them out. Anyway, we are going to crack on now because there is a lot to talk about. We've obviously just had COTA, which was a hugely eventful weekend. I think largely for perhaps the wrong reasons. Don't get me wrong, it was great as fans to watch. But I feel like, again, it was another race that ended in controversy where we were kind of like, what the hell are the stewards doing? But we'll get into that. There is a lot to break down. Naturally, this is the point where Matt takes over and I sit back.
All right, guys. I mean, I don't know where to start with that. Why do we look like we're wearing the same stuff today? I just realised. If you're watching some of our clips.
I'm an influencer.
Oh, is that what it is?
And you've been influenced.
No. Obviously, there was no podcast last week. So before we get into the F1 news and everything.
Oh, yeah. It's also really early in the morning.
It's what? 8:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I went to Nice last week.
Nice.
You're happy with that one, aren't you?
The joke never gets old.
But I went to Monaco. So this is the second time I've been to Monaco. Love it there. It's literally like...
Naturally, you drove around it, didn't you? We're going to put up a clip of that right now.
I haven't got a clip of it, but I did drive around it, yeah.
We got that clip. Trust me, it's going up.
Okay.
If fine. You're watching this, it's up.
Okay, fine. And I just want to say, so if you've been, if you're planning to go to Monaco, well, for whatever reason, there is an F1 shop in the town, and these are the pictures I sent from you last week.
Oh, yeah. It's a bargain as well, a lot of the stuff in there.
It is incredible. It is the most amazing F1 place I think I've ever been to. You walk in, basically everything is signed. Like, all, you know, you've got old race suits, you've got
gloves.
Yeah,
but is it, like, legit?
Well, I assume so.
You know, because I feel like you'd get to a point where, like, you've seen, like, Lewis Hamilton's signature so often, you'd be like, ah, I could do that.
Well,
slap, like, a, don't know, 4X markup on it. Bang. We've just cashed in. All I needed to buy was a Sharpie.
Yeah, true. I think it's real. It looks like a legit... I'd like to think it's real.
I would like to think so, too, because you saw something quite cool in there.
I saw something very cool. And again, I did say to you, didn't I? I was like, take it with a pinch of salt. I hope it's real. So there's a tyre in there for Max Verstappen's rear wheel from Monza 2021.
In theory, it would be his rear right.
Rear right tyre, yes.
That was sitting on top of Lewis Hamilton's head as Lewis came out of the pits. And
it was in there and they were selling it for €4,000.
Which I said was a bargain. I thought you should have got that.
Yeah, I don't really know where I'd put it, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know it's worth it. You got a couple of horses, sell one of them, bring back the tyre.
Yep.
We could stick it on the wall here.
What, just the wall just rip off?
Yeah, to be fair. But...
But that was epic.
That would have been a good purchase. I think that was the only thing that was probably worth the money in there.
But you know that egg chair did I send you? Williams one?
Yeah.
I thought that could be cool for the pod. Can you imagine having one of those each?
Yeah, but...
But I had a look at those. They were $7,000 each.
They were more than the tyre.
They were more than the tyre.
Do you see what I mean? All of a sudden, the tyre, that is screaming value.
So if you're going to Monaco for any point, if you're going there just for a day visit or whatever...
Yeah, you know, guys. Yeah, like, you always just pop to Monaco.
No, well, look. People who go to Nice...
Look at him.
No, I'm just saying.
Different kind of money, this boy.
No, if you're an F1 fan, sometimes you do go there just to have a look at the track. You go round. There's tours you can do there if you visit Nice or whatever.
Pop on the PJ, head out to Monaco.
Got the helicopter.
Spend the day there.
Yeah, exactly. I did also send you the picture of Max Verstappen's jet when I landed.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did I reply?
No, you didn't.
I didn't see that. I don't remember that.
No, you didn't reply. But yeah, I...
Was yours parked next to it then?
Mine was literally just right next to it, yeah. But it was cool. Let me see if I can find it, because... yeah, look, this was when I landed.
Oh, do you know what? I remember seeing that picture, and because you sent it with no context, by the way. You didn't send a message with that.
All right, well, you just
sent that, and I was just like, right, why is he showing me that then? It's just grey skies... an airport. I was just like, there's nothing.
Oh, so you didn't think that actually there's that jet, which...
Oh my God. Can you see the picture? You have to squint and zoom in like 7 times to be able to see it.
So why didn't you zoom in 7 times?
I saw it. It literally came up on WhatsApp and I was like, right, well... it wasn't even like, oh, look, I'm here in Monaco or Nice or whatever. Look how nice it looks. It's like a grubby grey photo. So I was just like, right.
Anyway, the moral of the story, if you by any chance pop to Monaco for a day trip, or if you're a millionaire, billionaire, whatever, and you're going there just back to your apartment.
Like yourself.
There's an F1, I wish. There's an F1 shop in the middle of town, which is epic. Everything in there is signed. You've got old race suits. You go past, you've got old gloves, which are signed. Some of the pictures in there are brilliant. Like, all round, it's just epic. They've got helmets in there. I saw Lewis Hamilton's McLaren.
You were in there, weren't you?
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton's what?
McLaren helmet. You know the all yellow one, basically? Yeah. That was in there, signed.
How much?
I didn't actually look. I was too busy looking at everything else. But if you go there, or you've been there, do let me know. It was great. Going to bring a new thing each week to the podcast.
Yeah.
And I want to test you.
Okay.
So, motivational quotes by F1 drivers. So I'm going to read out a quote.
Okay.
I want you to guess who it is. You can play at home. So this one this week is, we have to remember these days. There is no guarantee they will last forever. Enjoy them as long as they last. Who's a driver?
Do I get a timestamp on this?
You get 20 seconds.
No. I mean, like, when was this quote said?
I'll give you a clue on this one to make it easier.
Because if it's not like someone on the current grid, I feel like that is going to be... there's almost like unlimited possibilities.
I'll give you some hints, okay?
Uh-huh.
They're not on the grid currently.
Right.
Right.
Well, that makes it easy then.
They are an F1 world champion.
Sebastian Vettel.
Spot easy. On. Yeah.
See? Do this every week.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay, fine. Right, so let's get in some news. We're going to talk about COTA in a bit. There's a lot to digest. There's a lot to go through with that. But obviously, the FIA came out last week and they announced some new rules for the 2025 season. The biggest one is a removal of the fastest lap. I don't know how I feel about this. I quite like the shithousery of teams trying to take that away, you know, at the end, you know, come in for softs. Try and take it away from that driver. I think it makes it quite interesting. But obviously from 2025 season, that has been scrapped.
I've digested this news. At first, I was like, what? Like, what's the point? Because I thought it was quite cool. You know, you get to see, like, I don't know, for example, Danny Rick comes in, like, last couple of laps to Singapore, puts on a set of softs and absolutely sends it. However... I think it was after listening to George Russell speak about it, and he made a good point. It's not really a true reflection of the fastest lap.
No.
You know, it's not someone that has absolutely pushed the car to the limit on some dusty old hard tyres or whatever because they're trying to build a gap to the car behind or they're trying to close up to the car in front. That is like the true fastest lap. And I know what you're saying. Like, you're probably going to be like, oh, well... coming in and getting a set of softs is like a true fastest lap. But like, you get my point.
Yeah.
I think like it's a true fastest lap under like actual race conditions. Coming in because you're so far back or you've got such a large gap to the car behind and there's no chance of you catching the car in front. So you've just got this window of opportunity. I think it's kind of like a, I don't know, it feels like an easy way to get an extra point at this point. So I'm actually not against it. I'm all for it. Do you know what? Oh, no, because I guess there's no way around that. I think it would be nice for a driver to get a point for the fastest lap if it was done, like, legitimately. And I'm not saying it's illegitimate coming onto SOS, but you know my point.
Do you think Danny Rick would have saved his seat if he got that fastest lap point in Singapore?
No, especially after seeing Liam Lawson's performance this weekend. I think it was a good call.
Yeah. Obviously, the other news as well, do let us know about the fastest lap. The other news is they must, from next year, they must field a young driver during free practice at least twice a season. Currently, it's just once per season at the moment, but they must actually field a young driver during the free practice sessions at least twice a year.
I mean, that makes complete sense. It's just like one time for each driver.
Yeah, I think it's good.
As, you know, like, oh, this week you're replacing K-Mag in FP1.
Yeah.
In a few months' time, you're replacing Hulk. That makes sense, and it's good to see them get the opportunity. And I don't know if you saw Ollie Bearman's interview on F1 TV after the race. You can see how much it means to them. I mean, even him just being around the paddock this weekend, you can see how happy he was. And he's taking an FP1 session next week in Mexico. And again, you can see how much it meant to him. And he was speaking about his FP1 session with Ferrari last year and how he was saying, like, him at the time, it was like the biggest moment in his career. And he was like, this is all or nothing. And then obviously, little did he know, actually, he'd be thrown into the seat in Saudi Arabia. And that was actually the biggest moment of his career. Because realistically, that secured him his seat
Haas. I think it's great for F1 fans as well, because these are the drivers who are going to be up and coming. We get to see them. We get to see what they can do. Obviously, if you watch F2, you know these drivers a bit better. But, you know, you've even got some reserve drivers who you don't really, really see. You don't really get to understand what type of style they drive. So, you know,
I feel like, especially if you watched F2, and then when they go to reserve drivers, it kind of feels like, I feel like becoming a reserve driver can sometimes be a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of them get sucked into that and they kind of just get washed away. You know, look at Felipe Drugovich, for example. I thought it was going to happen to Jack Doohan as well, but, you know, luckily he got the seat. But I feel like it happens so frequently with drivers that become reserve drivers. That they take the jump from F2, or sometimes they're still in F2 and they're a reserve driver. But I feel like when you leave F2, become a reserve driver, I feel like it's kind of like a signal of, like, chances are you're not going to make it. So, yeah, and it is nice seeing young drivers come up. I mean, think, Colapinto Pinto got that opportunity out of nowhere and he's absolutely smashed it.
Talk about Drugovic. You're the reserve driver for Aston Martin, and you're sitting there week in, week out, watching Lance Stroll go round, have shitty performances, and you're going, you're seeing all your, you know, your friends get into the sport, the likes of Colapinto, Kimi Antonelli, all these people, Jack Doohan, and you're going, how on earth are they getting seats? And I'm in this Aston Martin team, and I'm watching someone like Lance Stroll go round. I appreciate he's a son, I get it. But it's got to be quite, like, disheartening, surely.
Yeah, from, like, the objective point of view, you'd be like, that is pretty ridiculous that he's not had an opportunity. But at the same time, if they were to replace Lance Stroll, with the money that Aston Martin are throwing at the sport, do you think they'd replace him with Felipe Drugovic?
I don't know.
I think they'd look to, I'm not saying they'd look into F2, I'm saying they'd look to poach someone on the grid.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you've got a two-time world champion in Fernando Alonso there. You're seeing already the youngsters who are coming through who are performing. Colapinto, surely even Colapinto would be a better choice for Aston Martin than Lance Stroll.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the moment, he's not got a seat next season. But what I will say is Fernando Alonso, I think we've seen this weekend, he's not exactly a mentor to young drivers. And it's fine. Like, to be honest, part of me loves how I love Fernando's shithousery.
Yeah.
You know, even if, like, it's not even banter to him, he's being deadly serious. I love it. Like, I do. Part of me thinks, oh, you sad little bastard. But I think I love that. Because it is hilarious.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we're touching this now, shall we? Liam Lawson, Fernando Alonso this weekend. Liam Lawson got a bit fed up because he tried to overtake Alonso. Alonso blocked him off. I can't remember which way it happened. But from that...
Because this was in the sprint.
Yeah. So Liam Lawson was then moaning over the radio about Fernando Alonso. Fernando Alonso came out after. He said, you know, he's got 5-6 races.
My career on the line.
Yeah. He's got 5-6 races to prove himself. He should be worrying on that rather than worrying about, you know, fighting with me. And
I read the quote from Liam Lawson. Apparently, Fernando Alonso said, "I'm going to screw you." And he was like, "Well, that was true." So, and then obviously the beef, it spilled over after the sprint race, didn't it?
Yeah.
When they were in the pit lane. And it then continued into the race where they were seemingly racing each other again. And
fair play.
Liam Lawson, Jesus Christ, like, he did a good job.
He held himself.
He did. And he had a... I know we'll move on to the race, but he had such a good weekend.
Isn't that just a downfall for Fernando Alonso? Last year, his main battle was against Lewis Hamilton, wanting to really go against a 7-time, 8-time world champion. And then all of a sudden, now he's fighting for...
now he's trying to destroy a rookie's career after his first race of the season. But, like I said, I love that about Fernando.
It is good. Right. Other news. So we got two big points that came out this weekend. Have Red Bull cheated? So the big talking point of the United States Grand Prix surrounds Red Bull's car after McLaren were among rival teams who suspected a device on the RB20 could enable the world champions to advantageously change their car ride height via the bib at the front of the floor where it's restricted in Parc Fermé conditions, which would be in a breach of the sport's regulations. Well, obviously, Red Bull then had a discussion with the FIA. They said that they would remove this, vice versa. So while confirming the existence of the device, Red Bull said that it could not be used for anything untoward as it is not accessible to the use while the car is fully built. Every car has a tool that they can adjust that we call the front of the floor behind the bib, and ours is located at the front of the footwell. It has been there for over 3 years. Interesting. You've got to have the pedals out, other panels and pipeline out to get it working.
I think this is... Look, right, there are a number of ways you could look at it. I could look at it as the Lewis Hamilton fan. I think, well, ban them. Ban them immediately. I think you
and
can...
I think you did tweet that, didn't you?
I did. But... You look at Lewis's comments. That was in a quote retweet to Lewis's comments. And he says, well, look, it's innovation. That's part of the sport. You know, Mercedes had the DAS system, which was deemed illegal, but they were allowed to keep it for the season. So I kind of respect it. They came up with something that was kind of on the limit.
Mm.
And loads of teams have done that before. I think... The only real thing that does bother me, and you see this quite a lot, I mean, even Ferrari in 2019, you could even talk about McLaren's rear wing, which they've had to change, is that cars that are then have parts that are deemed illegal or systems that are deemed illegal rarely suffer punishment for that period of where... I don't believe for one moment that this bib device is the reason Red Bull have been so dominant over the last 3 years, right? But let's hypothetically assume that that is the reason the car has been so strong. And now it's considered illegal. Well, so essentially you're saying they've won the last 3 years with an illegal car, right? Now, like I say, that's not really... how I view it. Like, I think good, like, push the limits for everything. But if another team had done it, would they have just got away with it? I don't know.
I think I agree with you, you know, in the sense of the sport is all about innovation. It's all about creating a car that can go as fast as possible and beat the rivals. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. So there's certain aspects which just plain cheating. but there's also certain aspects where actually it's creativity. And I really liked Lewis's comment about it, because Lewis could have come out and said, oh, this is ridiculous, you know, they've been cheating. But actually...
Humble goat.
Yeah, he was very much like, look, I respect it. You know, they found a way to improve their car. They found a way to actually beat the rivals. Fair play to it. But it's kind of like understanding the rules. And I think this kind of touches on the whole weekend, and what we're finding with the FIA at the moment is there's no real consistency within the rules. There's no consistency with what is acceptable and what isn't.
Well, yeah, no, like that goes back to my point of, okay, if something is deemed illegal and a team has had it for 3 years and it's categorically benefited the performance of that car,
yeah,
where's the punishment?
Well, no, there isn't any, is there?
So it's like, you might as well do something that is very questionable, because you might get away with it for 8 races, win every single one, and then they're like, oh, no, you can't have that. Oh, all right, what do you want us to do about it? Well, I'll just take it off.
But don't, all right. You know, and that was the thing, wasn't it, this weekend?
If that's the punishment, all the punishment is to remove it, you'd be like, fine, we've banked like fucking 200 points. Because of that device that we had on.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just feel there's not enough consistency with the rules. There's not enough consistency with the punishments. There's not... It's just really... You know, this is a pinnacle of the sport. You know, F1 is a pinnacle of motor racing. And it looks a bit of a mockery, because there's no real... Every week we come in and there's a different team. We've got, oh yeah, we've had this for about, you know, last 6-7 races. Oh, we agreed with the FIA we would remove it just so we don't annoy, you know, McLaren or Ferrari.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When it's like, well, if it's not compliant with the rules, where is the punishment? Removal is not enough. And what I don't want is this to be clipped without the part where I say, actually, I respect Red Bull for pushing the limits of the innovation, because...
Who's doing a clipping?
You. Okay. So make sure this is included, because that is part of the sport. What I'm not having is Red Bull fans coming here saying, like, oh, you're just bitter Lewis fans. Yes, I am. But I do respect that Red Bull have found this thing. They've used it for 3 years. It has benefited performance. Like I said, I don't think it's the reason they've won the last 3 years. The car has been great regardless, and they've had Max Verstappen in it. But it's just like, what the hell is the punishment if you are found to have something that does not comply with the rules? Mm. Because there doesn't seem to be anything at the moment.
No, agree. Right, budget cap. We love the budget cap. Not. Hate it.
And cost cap.
Cost cap, budget cap, yeah. Did I say... No, it's budget cap.
Yeah, yeah. Not cost cap.
No. So Formula One is to adjust its budget cap from the 2026 season to offset the cost of teams that operate in countries with higher salary levels. I never really thought about this, to be fair, when this came in.
The Big Mac Index.
Is that what it's called?
Oh, well, that's like how you work out roughly like what the average cost of living is in a certain place. Mm. So like a Big Mac here, for example, might be, oh, it's expensive now. I went to Mackey's the other night, got a meal. I wanted like a double quarter pounder. This is on topic. A double quarter pounder? That would just be a half pounder. What's the burger I'm thinking of? I don't know. It's like a double cheeseburger.
Fillet of fish.
Nah, not that shit. And the meal was like, if I wanted large, it was $8.50. So I was like, nah, I'm not having that. I bought like a triple cheeseburger with extra cheese, chicken mayo and fries on their own. And it was like £5. It was a much better deal. Anyway, not my point. If it's like £7 here for a Big Mac meal, and maybe in Denmark, it's £14. In whatever currency they use, and then maybe in Indonesia it's like £2. Yeah, so that's sort of how you work out the cost of living. There you go.
So I did find that interesting. So the top three teams in F1 have an average salary level of £90,000, while the same number for Sauber, who are last in the world championship, is £125,000.
Wow, where are they based?
So they're based in Switzerland. Obviously, Audi had taken over. So they're based in Switzerland. So interestingly, so the move will help Audi's attempts to become competitive when it enters F1 officially in just over a year's time. Sauber are based in Switzerland, where salaries are in average of 35 to 45% higher than UK or Italy. Mm-hmm. So salaries make up approximately 35 to 40% of a team's budget, which means Saudi Audi are in effect working to a lower budget.
Wait, what? Saudi Audi.
Sauber Audi are in. Let me do that again. Salaries make up approximately 35 to 40% of a team's budget, which means Sauber slash Audi are in effect working to a lower budget cap than any other team. Mm-hmm. So Audi have accepted that a consequence of change in exchange rates being reflected in 2026 recalculation, this in theory would mean that they're a £20 million disadvantage each time. So with the changes now,
mm-hmm. they've got an extra £20 million to spend.
Yes,
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's a fair change.
So the limit is being raised substantially. So the cap will be lifted from 135 million a year to 215 million a year in 2026.
But is that across the board?
Across the board.
So Mercedes get that as well, for example?
That's what it says, yeah.
All right, well, that seems a little bit more unfair. I feel like maybe they should do like a relative cost cap based on where your team is located. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
Because now, okay, granted, Sauber or Audi, whoever, get an extra 20 mil to spend. But so do Mercedes.
So it says the cap will be lifted from 135 million a year per team this year to 215 million in 2026. Although this appears as though the limit has been raised substantially, the net effect in real term is to raise the cap only a small amount more than the level of inflation. The top, so every team will get it, but they're saying that they're increasing it so they won't be as a disadvantage.
I don't, that makes no sense to me, because if you're raising it for everyone, they are still at the same disadvantage. They've just got more money to spend, but the other teams have just as much more money to spend. You see my point?
Yeah.
So, great. I mean, I don't really understand the point of it.
No.
If it was relative, it's like, okay, right, Audi, Sauber, whoever, you're based in Switzerland, therefore your cost cap is this because your wages, or you get like a certain limit on the wages.
Oh, no. So Audi will operate at a higher headline budget cap figure than rivals. The FIA believe the changes will ensure that the teams are operating at a level playing field financially within the cap, given the specific circumstances. Audi will get more.
This guy.
Sorry, breaking news.
That is, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
And I like that because, you know, ultimately it does cost more to be certain places. And I don't think it's right to be like, whoa, why doesn't the team pick up and move to so-and-so? Like, what's the point? Like, that's the home of the team.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't tell Red Bull to move from, okay, I know they're in Milton Keynes. You wouldn't tell teams to pick up from their home and move somewhere else just to make it cheaper, which is also a huge expense anyway.
Yeah.
So places have different wages. There's different costs of living in different countries. I think this is a great way to level the playing field.
No, I agree. Touching on other news, and I want to have a discussion with this, because we've spoken about Alex Albon. Do we think Alex Albon is overrated? And what the reason I'm asking this question...
Such a U-turn. If you go back to
earlier
episodes...
No, I'm...
No, I'm saying, like, we were both talking him up. And this is now quite a large topic on social media that you see.
And the reason why I'm asking it is, obviously, beforehand, Logan Sargeant was there. Colapinto has come in. And Colapinto
He also raced up against Latifi, didn't he, Albon?
He did, yeah.
So he hasn't had the best teammates.
No. Colapinto has come in and has matched and actually even bettered Albon in the last few races. Obviously, with Carlos Sainz coming in next year, there's a lot of discussion now that actually, is Alex Albon as good as what we thought in that Williams, or was he just doing well in that Williams because he had crapper teammates?
Crapper teammates? Well, I think... if anyone's going to expose him, it will be Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz will absolutely unearth the true capabilities of that car, which in turn will unearth the true capabilities of Alex Albon. Colapinto might just be a hidden gem. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Colapinto might be this driver that is absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, I think realistically, we've been guilty, hyped up Alex Albon a little bit too much. You know, he has been against not great teammates, you know, Latifi, Logan Sargeant. It's not really a fair comparison. And
no.
And I think we did always speculate, well, actually, is this Williams actually decent? Albon's just driving it to its sort of ability. And then Logan Sargeant is way off it. Colapinto has come in and done really well. I think next season is going to be the big telltale sign, but what the hell are Williams thinking at this point? Because realistically, another team is probably going to look to snap up Colapinto if he's not offered a seat at Williams. He's not going to be offered a seat at Williams unless something radical changes. I also don't think he's been that much better than Albon for them to be like, oh, let's get rid of Albon and put Colapinto in. So realistically, he's probably going to go elsewhere because he's not going to turn down a drive.
I'm still confident Alex Albon, the hype that we've given Alex Albon, I still stand by that. I still think he has it in him. I think he's had a couple of tricky races and the car hasn't maybe performed as well as he had hoped or whatever. Obviously, whenever you get a younger driver come in and outperform in certain races, you will always have this discussion of, oh, is Albon actually as good as what we think? I think he's done enough for that Williams team to justify the hype, if that makes sense. He's pushed it into those P8s, P7s, Q3s.
He has.
I still stand by the hype that we've given him.
But if you look at Albon, I guess in his life, he's been up against two good drivers.
Yeah.
He's always come off worse.
Yeah.
You know, Max Verstappen and now Colapinto. They're on different levels. But you get my point. And I've seen a lot of this online of like, you know, Alex Albon, when he's up against someone, is he at the level that we've sort of given him credit for? I like to think he is, to be honest. But I understand the speculation. I think, like I say, next season is going to be the big revealer because Carlos Sainz is a different level driver.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, Carlos Sainz is, in my opinion, a much better driver than Alex Albon. Alex Albon is a really, really good driver. But Carlos Sainz is just on that next level. I think if Alex Albon is then able to match him, I think then we can start putting Albon in that category of actually, he is a real top driver. And I hope that happens because I like Albon.
Yeah, so do I. And I think I'm confident he'll be good. I think alongside Carlos Sainz, I'm pretty confident they'll do well next year. Let's touch on... what should we touch on next? Let's touch on COTA, shall we?
I mean, this is probably going to be more than a touch. I think this will be a massage.
Yeah. Firstly, I want to get your view on sprint races.
Don't mind them.
Cool. Conversation over. Brilliant. That's done.
Well,
I think
they're better than watching free practice sessions, but I think the concept behind them is ridiculous. Does that make sense?
I think it's better
as a viewer.
Yeah, I think it's better now than maybe it was last few years because whatever happened in the sprint race would match the actual
race.
Whereas what we've seen this weekend is what you saw in the sprint race didn't exactly match what you saw in the race.
Yeah.
You saw the Ferrari strong in the sprint race. You saw them strong in the race. But it was a bit more entertaining either side.
Yeah, you know, Max was able to hold on in the sprint.
And obviously they're just working on one tyre. So leading up to this, my view on sprint races is actually they're a waste of time because simply you know what's going to happen from sprint race to race. It's happened over the years. That's what you've always seen. But actually this weekend, kind of changed my opinion on that. And hopefully when we go to Brazil in a couple of weeks' time, when we have another sprint race, it will continue like that.
Yeah. And I, like I say, as fans, it's much more interesting watching a sprint quali and then a sprint race.
Yeah.
And then you're straight into quali and then you've got the race the next day. It's much better than watching the free practice sessions where, you know, sometimes as fans, when you don't have all the data, it can be a little bit hard to sort of know what's going on.
Yeah.
In terms of long run pace. You have no idea how the cars are running in terms of fuel load. So you've just got kind of, you've got all these times coming up, you're watching the cars go round and round, but a lot of the time it's quite hard to take stuff from that. And there are like so many great Twitter accounts that break all that down. But whereas when you watch sprint quali, sprint race, you know exactly what's going on because every team is pushing.
Yeah.
But like I said, the concept behind them is still ridiculous because, I mean, it's just a commercial thing, isn't it? It's just that typical Americanization of the sport, which is fine. But I feel like free practice, and it's always just been part of the sport. It's like, yeah. It's moving away from that, the heritage.
We've discussed many times in this, I like free practice simply because you get to see the team's innovation. They're working on different things. They're trialing different, you know, wing levels, all this. They're trying different.
It goes back to that point that you make of when you watch the sprint race. Sometimes it can just completely reveal what is going to happen in quali and then in the race.
And it kind of takes away the excitement of going, oh, I'm looking forward to the race. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, so all of a sudden we're, you know, with the free practice sessions, if you're not like deep diving into the data or whatever, you are kind of in the unknown. Like, you know, without a sprint race, right? Every time the lights go out, I think Lewis Hamilton can make his way to the front, right? Because I've got...
You got rinsed this weekend, by the way, mate.
I did a little bit. But because there is that level of unknown, well, we don't know how the car is going to race, do we? Okay, long runs, they looked pretty strong because this guy said so on Twitter. Whereas once you see a sprint race, you're like, yeah, okay, there's no chance. Sometimes it might gas you up the other way, you know, they might. But again, it's still then knowing.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the frustrating thing, is it does give you too much insight into the race. But like you say, that was a little bit different this week because it was different. But
I just like the build up. I like the practice. I like seeing how cars are performing. I like the fact that, you know, you see, you know, Red Bull struggling on a, you know, the Friday, they're not getting their car right, but somehow they do. They work so hard at it, and all of a sudden they come out and qualify and they get a pole. Or, you know, it's the unknown of what is actually happening. But historically, sprint races has always been Red Bull, Max Verstappen will win a sprint race. He will then go and win the race on the Sunday. That's basically how it's always been.
And it's also that calm before the storm.
Yeah.
You know, it makes quali in the race so much more intense with these three free practice sessions. Yeah. Even when a team's had a bad FP3, you're then like, oh, but are they going to turn it around in time for quali? Mm. And then maybe a team has a really good qualifying session, but they're poor in race pace. Yeah. And like I say, the sprint just kind of reveals all that to you. It drops you these nuggets of information. And we did even see that this weekend. We knew the Ferraris were very strong.
Yeah.
We knew that Max and Lando were pretty close in pace.
Hasses were good.
We knew the Hasses were good. We knew the Mercedes was poor.
Yeah.
We knew Lando was much quicker than Oscar. It's just kind of all those things that you got from it that was...
So all that information you kind of had before the race on Sunday.
Yeah, so going into it, you're kind of like, right, here's what I think is going to happen. And you had such a good foresight because you had seen actual race conditions rather than free practice conditions where you never really know what's going on. You know, in a sprint race, they're all going to be fueled relatively the same. They're all pushing to get points. Most of the time, they're always on the same tyre as well. So, yeah. I love... It's more interesting to watch, naturally.
Yeah.
Do I prefer it as a concept over the weekend? Probably not.
No. let us know what your thoughts are on sprint races. Just quickly finishing on a sprint race. Actually, just going into this weekend, it was a big weekend in the championship title for Max Verstappen. Red Bull needed to have a strong weekend. And actually, for me, they're probably one of the winners from this weekend. And I know we'll touch on later. Well, they didn't lose any points in the championship to Lando. Lando's further behind in the championship. For me, that's a win.
2 points.
4 points.
Oh, because sprint.
Sprint.
But from the race.
From the race. But overall, they're still coming away. They've now done five races.
Wait, 4 points?
Because he got 2 more points in...
Oh, not just 1 more point.
In the sprint, he got 2 points extra. Because obviously he got 8 points. Lando got 6.
Really?
Well, yes.
Don't the top 8 get...
8, 7, 6, 5. So he got 2 more points.
Yeah, Lando didn't come second, did he?
No. So for Red Bull this weekend, they got to be happy with that. We've said...
I don't think Red Bull will be happy with the weekend. I think Max will be happy.
Yeah. Well, okay.
But look what happened to them in the constructors.
Okay,
They're going to get done by Ferrari.
Yeah. They're going to be peppered by Ferrari. However, let me rephrase that. Max Verstappen will be leaving this weekend happy that he's not in a deficit in their world championship to Lando Norris.
I don't think he'll be leaving as happy as you think. 4 points, okay, it's good. And I think realistically he is safe at this point anyway, because I just don't think Lando has it in him. But all it takes is Lando to win one race and Max to have a retirement, and all of a sudden it's very close.
Yeah.
No. So I'm sure Max would have wanted to win the race, and he would have wanted Lando to finish where he finished. And then he'd probably be feeling a lot more happy.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree. I mean, he's walking away happier than Lando is going to be.
Yeah. So this is a finish on a sprint. Max Verstappen won it. He looked quite strong on those mediums. They obviously, all cars pretty much started on the mediums. They looked good. Good pace. He held it quite comfortably. Carlos Sainz got P2. He looked fast all weekend. He looked very decent all weekend.
Well, he looked quicker in the sprint than he did in the race.
He did, yeah.
You know, Charles was... It flipped come race day.
But I think Charles even looked quick in the sprint. He just had that battle on and off with
Sainz. No, he did look quick.
Yeah.
Just Sainz looked quicker.
Yeah.
He overtook him.
Lando Norris... They struggled this weekend, the McLarens.
Yeah, because they had to change their rear wing.
Yeah. But isn't it interesting? We discussed beforehand that we can't see anyone else winning these races to the end of the year other than McLaren. They come to this weekend. They're pretty much nowhere near the front. I mean, I know they finished P3 and P4, whatever, but...
Yeah, but I do think that's why, generally, we've had quite an exciting season. Because you never really know who's...
But you didn't think anyone else would win a race this year except McLaren.
No, I didn't.
Which is...
I can't believe they've... I mean, firstly, they should have won more races than they have this season. But they were so far clear. And they brought 7 upgrades... I believe this weekend. Mm. Obviously, they had to change the rear wing. They had the dodgy little, like, sort of bend at the end. And they appear to have gone backwards. And then the Ferrari is looking super strong.
Yeah.
And then Max is just Max.
And you laughed at me. You laughed at me when I said Ferrari. When I said Ferrari, I believe, can get P2 in the Constructors, I mean, after this weekend, they could even get P1 in the Constructors if they keep on their way they're going. But they're looking so much stronger. And you laughed at me and went, what, because they did well in Monza? What, they did a one stop? They're looking strong.
I will laugh at you again. I think...
They're looking strong. Lewis Hamilton, get Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari next year. They're going to win a world championship.
Mexico is a different beast.
Yep.
You know, it's a completely different type of track. Are we going to see a strong Ferrari there?
Did you expect them to be strong this weekend?
Probably expected them to do a little bit better at a track like this.
Okay.
But I think Mexico is not as quick I think we're gonna see something very different next weekend.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it. I think it's so up in the air. I don't know what Mercedes have done. I don't even want to talk about them. That you come to a different racetrack and you're like, I actually have no idea who's going to do well. I mean, you know who the top three cars are going to be, yeah. As in Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren. You just don't know what order.
No, I mean, we'll touch on that. So qualifying, we just quickly, Lando Norris got pole. I think Max Verstappen would have got pole, but there was a yellow flag, which slowed down his last lap, flying lap. The Mercedes, obviously Lewis Hamilton went out in Q1. That car just looked just a joke all weekend. Obviously then George Russell spun in Q3. Then the bit they brought all these upgrades this weekend. They obviously didn't work. They made the car worse. I mean, that crash for Lewis Hamilton in race day was the most bizarre thing. And even
it was identical pretty much to George Russell's in quali.
You know, Lewis said, I've never spun like that before.
He literally didn't do anything. No. He literally just took the corner.
And then all of a sudden the back end just went out, which is really bizarre. Did you know that after George's crash, Lewis offered his upgraded package?
I did know that.
And George was like, no, it's crap. No, honestly, you keep it.
Yeah. It was either that or he was scared of Team LH coming for him.
But isn't that good, though? I think Lewis is kind of done now. I think he's kind of, every time you see him, he's like...
Get me in red, boys.
Yeah, you must be thinking that, though. If you're Lewis Hamilton, right, and you have a good race, you win in Silverstone, you're like, oh, brilliant, you know, you win in Spa, you come back, and you're thinking, oh, we're on the right track here. And all of a sudden, you're going backwards. Like, they've made no progression.
Yeah, and I was thinking how the team ended last season, and then obviously the Ferrari move got announced. I was like, oh no, this could be so bad. And then the season started and I was like, thank God. And then the Mercedes actually started getting better and I was like, oh no, Ferrari's gone backwards. And now we're getting to the end of the season and I'm being reminded, I was like, yeah, this is what Mercedes has been like for the last 3 years now. And obviously I'm talking from 2022. So get him in red. I'm excited.
I still stand by my decision. Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari.
Your decision.
Yeah, I made a decision.
You made it for him.
I still stand by what I've said in Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari is the right move. Ferrari, regardless, they have more success each year than what Mercedes do
in the last few years. Not last year.
No, but they have more. I mean, they won a race last year. Mercedes didn't, only one. But Ferrari seem to be going on the right track. Mercedes go like yo-yo all the time.
And yeah, they're too inconsistent.
I know you can say that about Ferrari. Ferrari before the summer break were struggling, but generally, they seem a bit more stable team at the moment compared to what Mercedes are.
So, yeah, no, I agree. I think they definitely understand this ground effect era of cars better.
Yeah.
I feel like Mercedes are genuinely one of the only teams that still really don't understand it. All this shit about getting the car in the sweet spot. It's been 3 years, boys. How can you not know what your setup is? You know, we don't see any other team struggle in the way that Mercedes do. And I know they're quicker than a lot of the other teams, but you never see all these other teams really complaining about setup.
No.
Every single week, you've got one of the Merc boys complaining about setup. Or like, even Toto comes out and says, oh, this car's a real handful. Like, if you get it perfect, the car's great. And it is. I think we've seen when it's on form.
It's good.
It's a winning car. But they can't seem to find that. It's like rolling a dice. Is it going to be good this weekend? I don't know. Let's tweak this fucking bolt a couple of more turns. And it's just like it doesn't work and they just don't understand it. And they bring upgrades that a lot of the upgrades fail. Didn't we bring a new floor earlier this year? That didn't work. Brought loads of upgrades to this race. They didn't work. All of a sudden, the car can't even stick to the track.
But it's interesting, though, isn't
it? Even my car sticks to the road.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? You had those success in Silverstone. You had the success in...
But Silverstone, they shouldn't have won.
No, but, okay, Spa, whatever.
Spa, they should have won.
You've had those race wins, okay? The car is in the right way. They're bringing upgrades, and what it seems like is, okay, we've had success there. We think this upgrade could work there. Let's chuck that on there. Oh, actually, it's not working.
That's the thing. They just don't understand this era of cars. They just haven't got it on lock at all. The fact they can't get the car every weekend into a good setup window, I think, says it all. Mm. And then the upgrades are just the fucking cherry on the cake.
And, you know, that's why I know a lot of people say with Mercedes, you look at 2026, their engine is by far the best at the moment. You know,
all rumours.
Yeah, from what is being said. And that's fine. But if they can't understand their car, you can have the fastest engine, but it means nothing.
Well, yeah.
If you can't get a setup right, and that's the one thing with Mercedes.
Because it's still ground effect.
Yeah.
This next era of cars.
And this is what I wonder if Lewis Hamilton was thinking when he was doing that, was actually, this team just doesn't get it.
And that's probably what I think he was at that point of, like, yeah, they really just don't understand this car. And granted, Ferrari are a little bit yo-yo as well. But over the previous 3 years, they have been on a much better path than Mercedes. And okay, Mercedes finished P2 in the constructors last year, great, but they then completely changed their car.
And I know you could argue that, oh, Mercedes have had obviously 3 bad years and they've had all that success, you know, you can't always have success. Granted, completely get that, but this is a team that was dominating for 8 years. This team now looks like a team who's constantly in transition because they just cannot get it. Yeah. They can't get it right.
And don't be mistaken, like, okay, yeah, they had 8 great years. Lewis doesn't have to stay there.
No.
If Lewis had had 3 horrible years where he was putting in Perez performances, you think Mercedes will stick with him?
No.
No chance. What, he doesn't owe loyalty to the team in the same way that the team don't really owe loyalty to him. No. If he's not turning up and performing, they should do away with him. That's the nature of the sport. You can't be upset about that.
Yeah.
So now Lewis has been presented this opportunity at Ferrari, who do understand the cars better, so it seems. And he's taken it with both hands. And also, come on, it's Ferrari.
Mm. And may I just say, Fred Vasseur, right, I've been very, very impressed with how you've led that team since you've come in. I was quite sceptical.
Is he listening?
Maybe, I don't know. But I think we were both quite sceptical when he left Alfa Romeo to go to Ferrari. Was it the right move?
Well, but it was the right move from him.
No, yeah.
But you meant for Ferrari.
For Ferrari. But he seems to really brought this team together. It looks like a team who are, don't get me wrong, they still have the odd weekends where you question what they're doing, but they seem in a much better place now where they're moving forward in the right direction. And that's down to his leadership. Because when he first went in, people were leaving left, right and centre. We were questioning what was actually happening at Ferrari. But he's really stabilised that team now. And I'm excited to see what they do in the future. I really am. I think, you know, with Lewis going there, alongside Charles Leclerc, we know Charles Leclerc is a winner. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do. And I think he's the right person to lead that team.
Yeah, it'll be... It's going to be a good season next season.
No,
I am really looking forward to it.
Let's just quickly touch on, the race. Obviously, Charles Leclerc won. He's now, and this is a fact, and people are like this, only a few podcasts ago, we discussed that Daniel Ricciardo won 8 races. Charles Leclerc had only won 7. But due to Charles Leclerc win this weekend, he is now on level with Daniel Ricciardo in the 8 race wins. So well done, Charles Leclerc.
Yep.
Standouts for me, Haas looked very good all weekend. Nico Hülkenberg finished 8th.
Yeah, obviously Haas brought upgrades.
Yeah.
They worked pretty well.
They done well.
Olli Behrmann, I'm sure, is now delighted
for
next season.
Standout, Liam Lawson. Again, another fantastic...
Yeah, P19 to P9.
Yeah. He showed, again, the reason why he deserves a seat. Talking to Liam Lawson... There's talk that actually, if he has a really strong end of the year, he'll be in that Red Bull seat next year.
Yeah, but where's Yuki Tsunoda in all this?
No, I agree.
What, like, is he invisible? I know he's short, but come on. He's right there. Why is he being overlooked every single time? There's never, ever a discussion about Yuki Tsunoda getting into that Red Bull seat. He's been at AlphaTauri for... this is fourth season?
Yeah. All right, what's your name? Fernando Alonso, calling it AlphaTauri while driving around RB.
Oh, yeah, shit, RB or whatever. All right, RB's a silly name. I prefer AlphaTauri. Why is his name never mentioned? Because Liam Lawson has raced six times now, maybe,
yeah,
in the last 2 years. Yet his name is getting put in there. I don't know. Come the end of the season, that might make more sense to me. At this point in time, it doesn't.
I thought Yuki's performance this weekend, his battles with Sergio Perez,
yeah,
was brilliant. His defence was
in
great.
A Red Bull.
Yeah. And, you know, Tsunoda was really trying to show, look, I'll go head-to-head with you. And he did. Don't get me wrong, he had a rubbish end to the race. You know, he spun, he came out behind... well, they pitted Liam Lawson on a one stop. He came out in front of Tsunoda. Tsunoda was a bit like, what the hell's just happened here? Mm-hmm. What I hope is that they're not trying to favour Liam Lawson come the end of the season in preparation to put him in that Red Bull. That's what I hope isn't going to happen, because I do believe Yuki deserves his chance. He has really matured this year. Yes, okay, he's a bit, you know, moany over the radio, but I like that. That's character.
So are loads of drivers. But Max,
yeah,
is like the worst for that.
So, I would love to see Yuki given the opportunity. Do I think it will happen? No, because I just don't understand why. I just don't get it.
They just completely overlook him. I don't understand why. I can put my finger on it.
So, Piastri had quite a quiet race, finishing P5. George Russell did a great job from pit lane, finishing P6.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the start with Lewis Hamilton. 5 cars overtaken.
Yeah,
good
brilliant
start.
He moved straight up to P12, and then we won't talk about
this. No. Let's talk about the main topic, shall we? Max Verstappen, Lando Norris.
Why is Lando Norris completely unable to hold a pole position?
It was an awful start, wasn't it?
Well, do you know, it wasn't even an awful start.
No.
He got off the line well, came up, and then he braked about 48 hours early.
Yeah.
And then was upset that Max went up the inside. And I thought, as a turn one, lap one move, fair play, Max.
I really struggle with understanding people's views on the fact that, oh, Max is too aggressive. Max, that was really unfair by Max. Max has been doing this for years. This is classic Max. This is how Max becomes world champions. This is why, because he is aggressive. This weekend showed difference between a world champion and someone who will never be a world champion, yeah, in Lando Norris. And that's try not to be disrespectful to Lando here, but what Lando needed to do was be aggressive into turn one. He needed to block off early, Max Verstappen in there. He needed to be the person who's dominating that corner.
He could have covered Max off.
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely could have. And he did just brake so early. You know what Max does.
Yeah.
Max will do that. To me, that was a textbook Max move in turn one.
It's nothing right? new, is it? It's
no.
nothing new.
And I also don't think there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, I said, didn't I, like, Lando came over the radio complaining, and I was like, how is he complaining about him braking so early? He just didn't cover it off.
And I think what's interesting is a lot of people I saw on social media after, how didn't he get a penalty? How didn't he have to give that place back? All of that stuff.
Hey, but is that to do with the turn one?
Turn one.
But that was never...
The thing is, with turn one, you very rarely get a penalty for the first lap simply because it's a race start. There's a lot of, you know...
Max did nothing wrong.
No.
I mean, obviously, also, Max didn't get P1 from that.
No.
Because they were both racing each other so hard they forgot about Charles Leclerc, who just went past with two fingers up.
But, you know, Lando dropped basically to, what, P4?
Yeah,
he lost
yeah.
out to Carlos Sainz as well.
Well, you know, there was an interesting quote from Alan Prost about Lando.
Yeah.
He said, you're like this. You can take Lewis Hamilton to a war and he'll win the title for you all alone. For Lando Norris, you need to give him a dominant car and team orders so he can fight for a title. And even then, he'll still fail. He's useless.
Wow. I mean, I'm not even that harsh about Lando.
What do you think about that?
I agree in the sense of you have world champions, mm-hmm. the likes of Lewis, Max, Michael Schumacher, because they're aggressive. Mm-hmm. They go for what they need. They do what they need to do to win their race. Lando Norris doesn't have that in him. Even with a dominant car, he can't rely on his team to give him the right orders because they don't even make the right orders. And we'll talk about that in a bit. So I agree. I don't think he's useless. I wouldn't say he's useless. I think any F1 driver is, you must be good if you're driving an F1 car. But he's not a world champion.
Obviously, for the record, that is a fake quote. That
is it? Yeah. I see. I agree
with
you.
Could you imagine Alan Prost saying that about Lando Norris? That is not a real quote, but Matt agrees.
No, I didn't say I agree. I just said it's a bit harsh. But Lando Norris, fantastic driver. Take nothing away from him. But I stand by what I say. He is not going to be a world champion if he sticks with the way of his racing. He needs to be more aggressive into these corners. He needs to be taking more control of things.
And this is also the thing, like, that you see, the way he was, I can't remember who was speaking about this, but it's so true. He kept trying the same move on Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
It was the same move that he was trying on him, I think, in Austria as well. It doesn't work. Max will run you off track.
Let's
talk. Max did that to Lewis in Brazil. Max fucking drove him to Argentina. And he didn't get a penalty or anything. And that one I thought was absurd.
Let's talk about the actual incident then. Because, again, I don't know why people are shocked. This is Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen's defence, and I have to say this, and over last year, I've really, you know, praised Max Verstappen, which is really bizarre because in 2021, I couldn't stand the bloke. But his defence against Lando Norris was superb throughout that whole process. Even leading up to that incident, he placed his car where he needed to be. He knew exactly what Lando was going to be doing.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He knew exactly what Lando was going to be doing because Lando wasn't mixing it up.
No.
He wasn't trying anything else.
Answer me this then. If you swapped Lando Norris with Charles Leclerc against Max Verstappen down those straights, I still stand by the fact that Charles Leclerc would have got past him easy.
I think Charles would have had a better shot, yeah. I mean, you've seen Charles race Max.
He's smart. Before. Bahrain, yeah. 22.
Exactly. And I just think, even Saudi, 22.
Yeah.
I really, like, part of me roots for Lando and part of me doesn't, right? I'm still at a conflict with how I truly feel about him, but part of me is just like, come on, like, start driving like you've got the best car, because you have most of the time. Stop pussyfooting around Max. Treat him how he treats you.
Yeah.
Max is such an aggressive driver, and look, for me, the incident, Lando getting a penalty for that is ridiculous. If they're going to dish out penalties for that, it should be going to Max, not Lando. Max has made no attempt to make that corner. He's just completely outbraked himself, and then he's run Lando off track. If Lando didn't take avoiding action, they would have crashed. If Max had braked to make the corner, Lando would have beaten him into the corner, and then he would have had the inside line going up into the next corner, and he would have held the place. So I think it's a joke. We also saw Oscar get a penalty for what Max did.
George got a penalty
in the same race. And I'm talking about Oscar in the sprint race.
There was no consistency with penalties this weekend, and I think that's the frustrating bit. For me, Lando Norris getting the penalty, it's a bit of a joke. Anthony Davidson did a great piece, and I don't know if you saw it, really breaking down the move. So Max was ahead into the apex.
But I can't get on board with that, because Max is ahead at the apex because he hasn't braked in time.
This is what I mean. However, he's still ahead. So
yeah, but that's
him. Max, you knew what Max was going to do. The way I look at this, and I even put this in the chat on Sunday, is you know what Max is going to do. He's not going to give up that place. He knows that. He knows that. That's what Max Verstappen has been doing this for years. This is nothing new. So he was never going to give up that place. He was always going to go into that corner deep. He was always going to go in there and push Lando wide. What McLaren should have done, and whether they think they're right or wrong, what they should have done is given that place back and then tried again on the next lap. They knew, and with the inconsistency with the rules, McLaren, you've got smart people there. Even I sat at home, I was like, give the place back. You're going to get them the next lap. This is just ridiculous. Why are you questioning, oh, can you try and get 5 second gap? Can you try and do this? You know that there's a risk of a penalty there.
But if you were McLaren, right, are you not going to look at the fact, well, actually, George Russell got a 5 second penalty for forcing another driver off the track?
Yeah, but
that's
but
what I would have been looking at.
But this is what I mean. The inconsistency of the rules this weekend.
Yeah, so it's not McLaren's fault.
I still think they should have just given the place back and then fought again. Because,
yeah, but that's hindsight. That's because you know he got a penalty. What if...
I said this before...
What if they, he gave the position back and then they were like, okay, Max has got a 5 second penalty?
Well, then he'd still get the place back anyway.
Yeah, but I think you would have looked at that and you would have... If you were McLaren, you would have said, oh, look, George got a 5 second penalty for forcing someone off track, Valtteri Bottas, in the softest way possible. Max has just almost pushed you, driven you into the barriers 50 metres over there.
There's even a radio...
He's bound to get a penalty.
There's even a radio message from McLaren to Oscar for saying, Lando's at risk of a 5 second penalty, can you back off by a second? You obviously know that you're going to get that penalty. Also, I think the reason why Lando, and I don't know how true this is because it was just... I read it somewhere. Lando had breached track limits. He was basically on the last...
Okay, so is that track limits now?
Well, no, but what I'm saying
is... If we're not smashing into another vehicle and we're going off track, is that genuinely, is that track limits?
No.
Because this to me, right, was wheel-to-wheel racing.
Yeah.
Max did a Max move. That if Lando had attempted to make the corner, like he was going to make that corner. Mm. Had Max have not driven him all the way out there, yeah, he would have made the corner. You can't be given track limits for that because he physically can't stay in the track unless he smashes another car.
Yeah. No, like, I don't think it's track limits. I think it's... But I'm just saying that was like another aspect
all
of
the
it.
Drivers found it weird. Not one driver has come out and said, oh yeah, no, that was a fair penalty.
No, I...
That's the reason Oscar... did an interview with F1 TV after as well, where he said, you know, I was told by the team to sort of slow down because Lando's got a 5 second penalty or whatever. And he's like, having just watched the incident back, yeah, it's incredibly harsh. And considering I got a penalty for the opposite yesterday, we're a bit confused. George Russell came over the radio. Even when he got the penalty, he was
Toto
Wolff.
Like,
he was just like, what?
Yeah, no.
Toto came over the radio to George saying, yeah, there's some bias going on here.
I agree that the penalty was harsh. And Stella has even come out, and I really liked what he said afterwards. He said, my view is the way the stewards interfered with a beautiful piece of motorsport was inappropriate because both cars went off track, so both cars gained an advantage. It's a shame because it cost us a podium. It cost us a race where we stayed patient after we were pushed off in the first lap. You weren't really pushed off in the first
one. I don't agree with that.
We accepted it. Having said that, we're very clear on our position. This kind of decision by the stewards cannot be appealed. Look, this is kind of what we touched on at the beginning of the podcast. It was very, very inconsistent by the stewards. There was no consistency whatsoever this weekend with the penalties that were being given. Do I think it's harsh? Yes.
I stand
by my point. This is a Max Verstappen-esque move. And we keep being shocked week in, week out that Max Verstappen does these moves and the other driver has to go off track or they have to do this. He's been doing this for years. None of this is new. You're battling Max Verstappen. Play smarter.
Yeah, I agree to some extent. You can't just say... In the racing perspective, he should have actually tried something different.
But he did the same move every time. Lando did nothing
different.
But you
can't say... You said this about when they came together in Austria.
Yeah.
I think you can't lay the blame on someone else. I feel like Lando got the overtake, in my opinion, in a in a fair-ish way.
I'm not saying Max is right by any means. I'm not saying Red Bull were right in this situation. But what I'm saying is, you know what he does. And if he's not going to get punished for it,
yeah, but
he's going to continue to do it.
Why does Lando have to pay the price for that?
Well,
if we think it's not really within the spirit of the sport or the rules, why is Lando paying the price and not Max?
No, I agree. But this is what I mean. If Max isn't going to get punished, then why are we still doing the same things for another driver who gets away with whatever?
So then Lando has to bear the responsibility of him not getting punished, where it should be the FIA actually taking it by the scruff of the neck and sorting it out.
But they're not changing anything, are they?
No, but that's what they should. No, it shouldn't be Lando's duty to change it.
I agree. But as we know, we've even discussed this back in 21, they should have been changing it. They haven't changed anything. He's still doing the exact same.
I mean, look, you go back to, if you want the, I mean, Saudi Arabia is genuine terrorism caught on camera.
Yeah.
But if you want to see pretty much the same incident, go to Brazil 2021. I'm sure you've all seen it. But if you haven't, go and watch it. He does the exact same to Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
And yeah, no penalty. And this is, there was a title riding on this.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been Lewis's only opportunity to get past him.
Mm.
And Lewis would have finished P2.
If you're a driver and you're getting away with this type of stuff week in, week out, you're not going to change, are you?
No.
So I'm not saying other drivers have to adapt to that driver, but you need to be more aware that actually this driver is not going to get punished whatsoever by the FIA, and they're going to keep doing what they're doing. You saw it literally on lap one. You saw it earlier, later on in the race. This is Max Verstappen-esque, and he will continue to do what he's doing because he's not getting punished for it. I still stand by the fact that actually, if there was any other driver, for example, Charles Leclerc, Piastri, Lewis, or whatever, they would have been able to get past Max in those situations.
But Lando did get past him.
By gaining advantage, by going, no, joking. I don't know. I think it's very harsh, the penalty. But knowing how things are going and how things are, I do understand. I don't understand why McLaren didn't just make the smartest decision by going, look, we know that actually we're likely going to get a penalty for this, whatever. Let's just play it smart. Because ultimately they lost the place anyway. He couldn't get the 5 seconds. And actually Oscar was coming into play there. Actually, realistically, he could have lost 2 positions.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. But yeah, for me, it's just a typical Max Verstappen weekend, really.
It is. Mexico.
Mexico next. Oh, do you want to quickly touch on Mexico? Right, so this weekend's Mexico Grand Prix, FP1 is on Friday, 7:30 till 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
FP2, 11 till 12:30.
What?
On Friday evening.
11 till 12:30?
Midnight. Yeah, in the morning.
To 12:30?
12:30, yeah.
Why is it an hour and a half long?
I don't know.
Well, there's got to be a reason for that.
Doesn't say. Just says. FP3 is 6:30 till 7:30. Qualifying is on Saturday, 10 to 11. Oh, it's a late one, isn't it? I swear Mexico never used to be this late.
Yes, it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah, the race is 8 o'clock.
But I'm just so confused. Why is it an hour and a half long?
I don't know, unless it's an error on their point. Right, quickly, you can play at home. Nice little quiz here. So, when was the first Grand Prix held in Mexico?
1974.
1963. Oh, number of laps.
Ooh. I am going to say
64. 71. Lap record.
I actually couldn't tell you this. 138.
At 117.7.
Oh, you should have known that because there's so many laps.
And held by who? It's from 2021. And it's not the two drivers you thought.
It's Valtteri Bottas.
Valtteri Bottas.
Because they had the whole fastest lap incident where he had to come in for softs twice.
DRS zones.
Two.
Three. There's two DRS detection zones, but there's three altogether. So you get it down the main straight, then you get it again on down from turn 3 to 4.
Yeah, as you come...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get another one between turn 11, the straight between 11 and 12.
Fair enough.
So, bing, bing.
Yeah, yeah. Bing. So I know this, I thought it, I'd just forgotten about it.
Yeah. Top three for this weekend's Mexican Grand Prix. And I'm happy if you say Lewis Hamilton, I'm happy to make another bet.
No. I'm going to say Lando, Charles, Max.
Okay. I am going to go... Ooh, this is a tough one. Lando, Max... Signs.
Interesting. Why Signs over Leclerc?
I don't know. Just have a feeling. Have a feeling. Let us know what your top three is for this weekend's Mexican Grand Prix. I had one question. Have I got time for one quick question?
One question.
So, you know, we discuss sometimes about, you know, we should all support British drivers or whatever.
Yep.
I saw an interesting question this week, an interesting topic this weekend. So, you know, as football fans, it's a football analogy, all right, that we support one team. Mm-hmm. We don't support all English football clubs, do we?
Yep.
Obviously, we're Lewis fans, but I may not support Lewis, Lando, or whatever, and some people find that weird. May not support George or whatever. Mm-hmm. The question, the discussion was about that. Isn't that the same as like supporting your football club? You support one person or you support one team rather than supporting all British drivers or all Spanish drivers or whatever like that.
Yeah, I think racing is a little bit different because you've got the personalities.
Mm.
But I would say it's fairly similar. You know, you become quite tribal about your driver, and it's just different in the sense of, okay, even if you support a team, that can change. Football, that never changes, right?
Yeah.
You know, for example, Liverpool Football Club are always going to be around. But Mercedes might not be around forever. You know, imagine if you're a Sauber fan.
Yeah.
What, are you now an Audi fan, or do you move elsewhere? Your driver's not going to be in the sport forever. So it's kind of different. You're allowed to be a little bit more fluid. You can move around.
Hmm.
But it's... I would say it's weird to not have one person that you really want to win.
Yeah. No, well, you know, let us know at home, because obviously, firstly, tell us who do you support. And if you're... from whatever country you're from, do you support, for example, say you're from the UK, do you support Lewis, Lando, George? Or do you just have one driver in that and you don't like the other? Let us know what your thoughts are. And I agree with you, it's personalities, isn't it? So you have your main driver, but you like the personalities of other people.
And I think we probably see that more now with social media. Like, I love Charles Leclerc.
Yeah.
He's not English. But I've always kind of backed the British drivers, and I think that's fine. It's like the same if I watch Wimbledon. Mm. I support the English, the British tennis.
I just thought it was an interesting discussion, so I was quite interested to get your view. But yeah, do let us know. You've got to go off to work shortly. So I think that's the end of the podcast. Obviously, we do have the Grand Prix this weekend. We'll be back next week reviewing the Mexican Grand Prix in preparation for the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Yep.
Buzzing. Love that Grand Prix. One of my favourites. So yeah, have a great week, and we shall see you next week for a brand new podcast. Bye-bye.